You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the herb.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, January 5th, 2018, and we've got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're finally at the first weekend of 2018. I was so excited for it, I jumped ahead of myself. But happy Friday to everyone. Happy weekend. I hope you have yourselves a great one. We got a great show coming up for you today because, of course, the news, the bombshell of the rescinding of the Cole memo by Attorney General Sessions, Department of Justice, is still reverberating throughout the cannabis community. Our good friend Tom Angel out at Marijuana Moment has collected a ton of reactions from U.S. attorneys, from governors, from state cannabis officials, from the stock markets, and from the prohibitionists. We'll give you a rundown of that coming up in the cannabis headline news. We've also got some news on that medical marijuana vote expected in Oklahoma to tell you about, so stay tuned for that. Also coming up on the program today, we will have a drug war data mining segment because today we got a release from the Pew Center, another marijuana legalization public opinion poll. More great news for us. More bad news for Kevin Sabet and the prohibitionist prudes out there. And on our show today, we're going to go back to our Sensible Future segment where we take a look at the young people from Students for Sensible Drug Policy who are working so hard to bring about positive reforms on their college campuses and throughout their communities. Today, we're speaking to a young lady named Amy Hildebrand from DePaul University up there in frigid, snowy Chicago, Illinois. We'll talk to her about her experience in SSDP and what the chances are for marijuana reforms and other drug law reforms in the great state of Illinois. And then we'll wind things up on today's show with a radical rant because I've been going rounds these last couple of days with my local prohibitionist, PDX Randy Lee. I haven't decided which Batman villain he's going to be. The Riddler is already Patrick Kennedy. The Joker is already Kevin Sabet. Maybe the Penguin? I don't know. Well, we'll figure that out eventually, but PDX Randy Lee and I have been going round and round about this Cole memo rescission, and I've got to give him some credit. I got to give him some props. He's an honest prohibitionist. He's a dyed-in-the-wool prude who wants to control your life and makes no bones about it. So we'll review that coming up at the end of the show, but first, let's get to the cannabis headline news.
This is your cannabis headline news, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net. The complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at marijuanamoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Friday, January 5th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville. Today, the fifth straight poll released since April 20th, 2016 has shown more than 3 in 5 Americans support marijuana legalization. Fully 61% say the use of marijuana should be legalized, reflecting a steady increase over the past decade, according to a Pew Research Center survey. The survey, conducted in October, finds that the share of U.S. adults who support marijuana legalization is little changed from about a year ago, when 57% favored it, but it is nearly double what it was in 2001 at 31%. The Pew poll comports with results from the Gallup organization, which last October released a poll showing the steadily increasing support for legalization, rising all the way to 64%. As usual, the Pew poll, like Gallup, shows greater support among the young, the educated, and those leaning toward the left in their politics. Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon today set a June election date for the medical marijuana ballot measure. Fallon filed an executive proclamation placing State Question 788 on the June 26 primary election ballot. The governor's other option was to place the issue on the November general election ballot. Supporters of an initiative petition asking voters to legalize medical marijuana gathered enough signatures in 2016 to schedule a statewide referendum on the measure. If approved by the voters, the measure would permit doctors to recommend a patient patient who is at least 18 years old for a state-issued medical marijuana license. A license holder would be allowed to legally possess up to 3 ounces of marijuana, 6 mature cannabis plants, and 6 seedlings. These limits can be increased by individual counties or cities. U.S. attorneys in states with legal marijuana are reacting to the Sessions Department of Justice killing of the Cole memo with a collective shrug. According to Marijuana Moments Review, Colorado's U.S. attorney suggested the disappearance of the Cole memo wouldn't change his marijuana enforcement strategy. That same goes for the Western District of Washington's U.S. attorney. Oregon's U.S. attorney suggested he would continue to use Cole memo priorities in determining enforcement actions. Alaska's U.S. attorney said he will, quote, continue to use the long-established principles of federal prosecution to determine what cases to charge, end quote. The U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia said the office will, quote, utilize long-established principles of prosecutorial discretion in pursuing cases, end quote. The Massachusetts U.S. attorney said his office would, quote, prosecute bulk cultivation and trafficking cases and those who use the federal banking system illegally, end quote. And the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of California said the office will, quote, evaluate violations of those laws in accordance with our district's federal law enforcement priorities and resources, end quote. While U.S. attorneys at the federal level are signaling that rescinding the Cole memo won't change their prosecutorial priorities, governors and other officials are saying it's business as usual for marijuana, with but one exception. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee said the state won't amend its marijuana laws in response to federal enforcement policy changes. Oregon Governor Kate Brown said the state will move ahead with legal marijuana sales, as did California's top marijuana regulator. Massachusetts regulators are also moving ahead with marijuana legalization implementation. But up north, the chair of Alaska's Marijuana Control Board, who is a police chief, resigned in response to the federal move. The end of the Cole memo is having an effect on stock prices in the burgeoning marijuana industry, however. The news set stock prices for several of the largest cannabis growers and other marijuana industry companies tumbling, reported Business Insider. The losses reversed gains earlier in the week from California's full legalization of recreational marijuana, which took effect on January 1. TerraTech, the largest U.S. pot stock, was down 35%, as was Cannabis Science, reported Business Insider. Other stock losses included a 22% drop for Medical Marijuana Inc. and an 8% dip for Aurora Cannabis. The news also affected related companies, reported Bloomberg News. Stock prices for Scott's Miracle-Gro Company, a maker of lawn and garden products that has been expanding sales to cannabis growers, fell by 5%. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Friday, January 5th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at the latest release from the Pew Research Center's Fact Tank. The headline, about 6 in 10 Americans support marijuana legalization. And folks, this is the first poll on legalization that's been asked in the year 2018, to the best of my knowledge. And it is the fifth poll in a row to show that 3 in 5 Americans or more support marijuana legalization. For our YouTube viewers, you can see the chart that I've placed on the screen. This is a chart I've been collecting for years now, since about 2008, where I have correlated all of the polls that have ever asked some form of the question, should marijuana use for adults be legal or not? Every single poll, going all the way back to the Gallup poll in November of 1969, when the support was just at 12%. And you can see from the legend in this poll that I've included news organizations, pollsters, all sorts of organizations that have asked this question, and the trend is remarkably clear. We have had nothing but an increase in public support for marijuana legalization in the 21st century. Let me give you a look at another way of looking at this data, because seeing all those polls on one screen can be a little intimidating. Let's shift the focus now to just the Pew poll, where Pew has been asking this same question since 2001. And as you can see, there was a slight increase in support for prohibition in the first half of the 2000s. But since then, since we've actually been implementing sensible marijuana legalization policies for adults, we have seen that number do nothing but rise and rise, to the point now where we are at 61% support among the American people for the legalization of marijuana in America. Pardon me there. And looking at the polls, since the legalization here in the state of Oregon also gives us quite an interesting look. Now, this is a combination of all the polls that have asked since the election in 2014, when Oregon and Alaska became the third and fourth states to legalize marijuana use for all adults. What you will find is not a single poll, none of the polls that have been conducted since the election of 2014 have shown any less than 50% support for marijuana legalization nationwide. So this is not an outlier. This is not a blip. This is not just some phase the country is going through. This is a long-term realization that the legalization of marijuana is the intelligent policy response to the use of marijuana by adults. We are not going to convince them to stop. There's always going to be some number of adults who want to use it. It should be treated and regulated in a manner similar to alcohol. We'll talk a little bit more about that in future rants. But as you look deeper into these numbers, you can find that the demographics are on our side. When they ask the millennials what their support for marijuana legalization is, it ranges up to 70%. Now, millennials will be people born between 1981 and 1997. 70% support among millennials. Among Gen X, that would be people born from 65 to 1980. My generation, Gen X, 66% support. Looking among the baby boomer generation, the first generation that had a popular love of marijuana, the baby boomer generation born from 1946 to 64, 56% support for marijuana legalization. The only group of people you can find in the country, demographically speaking, when it comes to age groups that do not support the legalization of marijuana is the silent generation, the senior citizens born from 1925 to 1945. And even among them, their support has risen from 15% in 1969 to 35% today. Over one third of America's retired people support the legalization of marijuana. Now, of course, the younger people are going to keep getting older and keep getting into voting booths and keep approving marijuana legalization. And the people who oppose us will increasingly no longer be able to vote, if you get my drift. We also look at this in the Pew Center report, broken down by other demographics. If we look at it by racial and ethnic demographics, white people are in support of marijuana legalization at 62%, black people in support of marijuana legalization at 71%. Now, I think this is noteworthy because for years, as we've looked through these polls for support for marijuana legalization in minority communities, we would oftentimes find less support for legalization or even majority support for the maintenance of prohibition. I believe that that owed to minority communities conflating the violence and crime associated with the prohibition of marijuana with the marijuana itself. Now that marijuana is being legalized and they're seeing it sold in stores, they're seeing that it doesn't cause the world to come to an end, people of color are beginning to recognize it was prohibition that was the problem. Just like it was the problem in the 20s with Al Capone shooting up the streets of Chicago, it's the prohibition that was causing the crime in the neighborhoods. It was the prohibition that was causing the blight and the over-policing and the stop and frisk. Now, we've still got a long way to go. We still have a situation where only 1% of the dispensaries out there and the grows out there are being owned and operated by people of color. But I can damn near bet that just about anyone grown up in the hood would rather have a pot shop owned on the corner by a white guy than a gang shooting it up on the corner, killing people in the crossfire. Now, unfortunately, this does not seem to be trickling down to the Latino community, where we find only a 52% support for legality amongst the Hispanic community. Now, some of that we might be able to attribute to religious leanings, a very strong Catholic background among some Latinos. We'll get to those religious numbers in just a moment. Let's also take a look at the gender background on support for legalization. Men in the Pew Center poll show 64% support for legalization, where women show 57% support, a 7-point gap, which has remained fairly constant as we look through the history of polling. Men have always had greater support for marijuana legalization than women. Some people have attributed to this to women raising children and the stigma of being a mom who smokes pot. I believe that's starting to fade as we now, again, have women in majority support as well. Also, when we look at the factor of education, college graduates support legalization at 65%. Some college, you know, high school graduate and you went to a few years of college, but didn't graduate, same level of support, 65%. But high school or less education drops the support to 54%. I believe that reflects people who are more willing to believe the reefer madness, prohibitionist lies of our government. And people who go to college get some experience with marijuana and the people that smoke it, even if they don't smoke it themselves. And they realize, again, the sky doesn't fall when you smoke a joint. Politically, though, this is where we see the biggest demographic gap in the support for marijuana legalization. Democrats support legalization in the Pew Center survey at 69%, independents at 65%, but Republicans oppose marijuana legalization nationwide by 55%. This once again illustrates that the debate about marijuana has very little to do with public health and science and policy and everything to do with culture war. This is simply a situation where Republicans and especially hyperpartisan conservatives simply hate pot because liberals like it. They simply hate weed because it's associated with the counterculture and hippies and left-wing politics. This has nothing to do with the actual value as to whether or not pot is harmful to their society or whether they think it would cause an end to the civilization. This is really rooted in tribal, partisan, culture war politics. Finally, let's take a look at the religious numbers in the Pew survey, where we find people who are unaffiliated with any sort of religious faith show the greatest support for marijuana legalization in the poll, 78%. Nearly 4 out of 5 people who don't go to church and don't subscribe to much religion support the legalization of marijuana. When you look at the religious lines, white mainline Protestants are at 64% support, Catholics at just 52% support, again, reflecting back to that low number amongst Hispanics, could have a lot of the reflection of Hispanic Catholics in that number. And the lowest support for legalization, the highest support for maintaining criminal prohibition, comes from white evangelical Protestants, which blows my mind. It blows my mind to think that white evangelical Protestants who believe in a creator who provided all of the plants and fauna and flora and everything on the planet somehow made a weed that was so evil and despicable that the people who use it to treat themselves for illnesses, for injuries, or just to relax should be put in a cage, should be punished in some way. Yet wine, I suppose, is still on the menu. This information can be found in the Pew survey, and if you like some of these charts that I've been putting up for the YouTube viewers out there, you can get them at the MJAgenda.com website on Patreon, live.mjagenda.com.
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
Don't we all want more iced tea? We all love iced tea. I like Body Count a lot, too. Body Count's a great band. Hey, it's 3:20 in the Pacific time zone where I'm at, here in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. We got to take a break because the union mandates it. You know, we got to have a safety briefing. And when we come back, SSDP's Amy Hildebrand from DePaul University from frigid Chicago. If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the liberal agenda, but with profits. Ka-ching. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Rust channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalrus. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Son, I figured when you were old enough, I'd talk to you about drugs. I'd tell you they're nothing but poison. Tell you to stay away from the garbage that pushes that junk. Only I never figured that I ought to be telling that to a 13-year-old.
If you don't teach your kids to say no to drugs, it's as good as saying yes.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And yes, we will overcome addiction in America. We are going to overcome addiction in America.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
This is A Sensible Future, brought to you by Students for Sensible Drug Policy at SSDP.org. Drug policy is an issue that primarily affects the young, both in terms of use and legal prosecution. SSDP believes in honest education about drugs and advocates for harm reduction policies to protect young adults and society at large. We speak with another dedicated activist from SSDP, working toward a sensible future.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of A Sensible Future, the podcast for students for sensible drug policy. Learn more at ssdp.org. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have Amy Hildebrand from DePaul University out there in Chicago, Illinois, where you must be freezing to death out there. Amy, how you doing?
Colder than I think I've ever been in my whole life, and I've been here 100% of that 21-year existence. But yeah, we are in the tundra, as they say, but definitely a lot going on in drug policy, so we're keeping busy.
All right. Well, Amy, let's tell our listeners a little bit about your background. How did you come to be associated with SSDP?
In high school, was dealing with an administration that really criminalized drug users in my community of high school students. We were a very small graduating class, less than 150. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody's parents knew everybody. So when my vehicle was searched in the high school parking lot, it was a very large topic of conversation. And many of my classmates thought that I had actually been arrested that day. That was a mini catalyst, as I like to say. And then 2 months later, one of my best friend's houses was raided, SWAT team, couch cushions ripped open, whole nine yards. So I left high school extremely jaded, took my diploma and told them to shove it and wanted to do drug policy from the start. When I got to DePaul, I found our SSDP chapter. They were brand new. The girls who started it were wonderful and took me in right away. However, they got busy in a lot of other endeavors. So right away, sort of towards the end of my freshman year, beginning of my sophomore year, I was really pushing them to hand the chapter over to me. And the rest has pretty much been history. I began an internship with the Illinois Cannabis Industry Association, really revived the DePaul chapter. And about 2.5 years later, here we sit.
So you were catalyzed into seeking out drug policy reform due to your own experiences with overbearing law enforcement. How was the reaction in the community? Were you in a, you said you were a small graduating class. Were you in a small town, a community that's more conservative? How did they react to these things?
Definitely a small town. We're talking the northwest suburbs of Chicago, so equidistant to downtown and the Wisconsin border about. So definitely kind of 50-50. You get the Chicago liberal vibes very strongly, and you also get the Wisconsin really heavy in family values, I want to keep my guns kind of rhetoric around me as well. Mm-hmm. So definitely a pretty hotly contested thing. I think high school is weird in a lot of ways because you are looking for validation from all kinds of different sources, whether that's friends, faculty, teachers, coaches, your GPA, college acceptance. So a lot of people have always been very supportive in my life. My parents have always been very supportive. I have always retained my academic rigor, I guess. So in a lot of ways, people quote unquote pass as productive members of society if they get straight A's. So nobody ever really questioned me in that regard, but I lost a lot of friends or had a lot of friendships change because of my drug use and my want to get into drug activism. And I don't regret that at all. And I think that as legalization has gripped our country, it's taught a lot of people to look back on the decisions that they made and the relationships that they altered, and maybe think twice.
You mentioned that differentiation between Chicago liberal-type values versus more Wisconsinite heartland values, and we find this throughout the country where you'll have more liberal, urban, college-centered places in a state versus the more rural, conservative areas of the state. I understand now that you're working as this intern working on Illinois state policy, and Illinois has kind of been a microcosm of what we see all throughout America, where, you know, Chicago is timidly moving forward on decrim. Illinois has embraced a very restrictive medical marijuana program. Give us the feel of what's going on there politically in Illinois and how you fit into this and how you're trying to fight for further reforms.
Right, definitely. It's actually a really great question for the day. I just got out of a meeting with the legislative team that I'm working with in Illinois, where we were talking a lot about our messaging going forward. And a lot of what was discussed in today's meeting was that difference of messaging between an urban constituency that in a lot of ways is already very much on board for legalization, and they want to see us pushing more for the race questioning and the reparations for drug war crimes in communities of color and things of that nature. Whereas, as we say in Illinois, the quote-unquote downstate opinion is that, you know, legalization is inevitable. We're seeing it sweep the country. Illinois is probably not going to be the last at the table in that discussion, certainly not. So what can our legislators do to run this as transparently and as deliberately as they can? And obviously those two sides are very different. One is almost a need for a radical questioning of how race relations played into drug policing. And that I would say is like the Chicago-centric model. And that's certainly what I would like to see us do. And then there is the quote unquote downstate model in Illinois, which has to tiptoe a little bit more, unfortunately. And I think that that's based on the way we do politics right now. And I think that a lot of young people want to see that change. And I think with the information age, we have been forced to see that change because everybody has access to the same information, no matter if they're in downtown Chicago or sitting in a cornfield.
You know, the way you describe that seems to parallel what we see in national politics, at least to what's going on in the Democratic Party, where there's a progressive wing that wants to more aggressively tackle racial issues and the disparities therein, thinking like Black Lives Matter and so forth. Whereas there's another more establishment wing that is focusing on we need to win elections, we need to win votes before we can go and do anything. Do you feel like you're walking that tightrope now with drug policy in Illinois?
In my personal and professional capacity, definitely. In a larger, more philosophical and thought-based stance on that, I think that we're moving mountains. I think that even just having you ask me that question means that a lot more people are wanting to think more radically.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. So tell us what's going on then in Illinois. I know you've got a lot of things, a lot of irons in the fire. What's happening with legalization for the state? When can we start looking at maybe being able to vote for Illinois to join California, Oregon, and these other legal states?
Our bill was introduced by the sponsors in the House, State House and State Senate last April. And they are purposely running this very slowly and deliberately. If you asked Senator Heather Staines and Representative Kelly Cassidy, who are the sponsors of the bill, they would tell you that they are definitely not trying to accelerate this process. They are trying to learn as much as they can from other states. So I think that for us, it's not going to happen until at least into 2019. I think that we're dealing with a governor who is very resistant and lacking a lot of willingness to be flexible in terms of cannabis legalization in Illinois. However, stranger things have been known to happen in the political realm. We are actively facilitating that dialogue through SSCP. We have an amazing event coming up on Monday night at DePaul University in Lincoln Park in Chicago with the senator who is sponsoring the bill, as well as a representative from Marijuana Policy Project and a really wonderful organization based in our city called Chicago Votes. This event will be an open forum and discussion of the way legalization is going to go in Chicago and in Illinois abroad. And we're looking at about a year and a half to 2 year timeline, I would say.
That's great news. Great to hear. And of course, Illinois, for our listeners, if you're not aware, you're stuck doing this the legislative way, right? You don't have an initiative power.
Correct.
So you mentioned the governor. Of course, that's Governor Bruce Rauner there, who's been a longtime opponent of even moving forward on things like decrim and medical marijuana. Is he term limited? Is there an election coming up soon in Illinois for his position that might move the ball forward for us a bit?
Yes, we are looking at an election coming up soon. I believe we're in an election year right now, 2018, November. So that will be very interesting, as well as an upcoming Chicago mayoral race, which will definitely factor into these discussions as well. I'm going to double check really fast on when we are getting a new governor. I apologize for not knowing that as a Chicago resident.
Well, that's okay. And we encourage everyone, of course, to look up on ssdp.org, where they've got information for all the states and what's going on. And you can get involved with your local SSDP chapter. And of course, even if you're not involved in any of these organizations, it's incumbent on you as a supporter of marijuana reform to get registered and to vote. Learn who the candidates are, learn where they stand, and learn how you can help make a difference in bringing legalization to your state. It's not when are they going to legalize, it's when are you going to legalize. And Amy Hildebrand, did you have anything else you wanted to tell our listeners about, or did you find that information on the governor's race?
Yes, we are in an election year. Primary elections will take place in March of 2018.
All right, good news. Amy Hildebrand from DePaul University, Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Do you have any contact information or anything else you'd like to leave us with?
Of course. First, I want to say thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. And if anybody would like to reach me, you can find me on Facebook, Amy Hildebrand. Hildebrand is a crazy German last name, but it's spelled H-I-L-B-E-B-R-A-N-D. And if you'd like to reach me by email, I am Amy, A-M-Y, at ssdp.org.
All right, Amy, thanks so much for joining us, and stay warm there in chilly Chicago.
Thank you so much. Have a good afternoon.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z. Cannabis Kamikaze.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the gay agenda, only with better music. Despite what you may have heard, CBD is not, quote, legal in all 50 states. The DEA is quite clear that cannabidiol is a Schedule I controlled substance banned in all 50 states. Think about it. Why would 17 states pass laws legalizing CBD, and why would there be 3 bills in Congress to legalize CBD federally, if CBD were already legal in all 50 states?
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
Federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Today I want to offer my sincere and effusive praise for my favorite prohibitionist. And you'd think maybe I'm saying Kevin Sabet, but no, not Kevin Sabet, not Patrick Kennedy. My favorite prohibitionist out there is a guy by the name of Randy Philbrick. He's a local here in Portland, Oregon. On Twitter, he goes by PDX Randy Lee. And I encourage you all to follow him on Twitter, because last I looked, he had like 17 followers or something like that. So he could use the help. But at PDX Randy Lee, I love this guy, because when you get your prohibitionists like your Kevin Sabets, you know, your Ben Quartz, right? They've been groomed, right? They've got some PR training. they understand that they can't say what they really mean and they can't say what they really feel because it's incredibly unpopular. And people would see it for the fascism that it is, for the totalitarianism, for the control freak prudery that it is. So Kevin Sabet, he wants to play the Goldilocks game with you, right? Like, oh, you know, legalization is too soft and prohibition is too hard and we'll give you something just right. The latest talking point from Project Sam builds on this. They're touting a poll that shows, I think it was New York State, had come out with a poll with, you know, 60%, 50%, whatever it was, majority support for legalization. And so they commissioned another poll that found that, oh, if you ask people just the two questions, should marijuana be legalized, yes or no? Well, then, yeah, most people said yes, you know, should be legalized. Because obviously, criminalizing it doesn't work. Obviously, we started criminalizing marijuana, putting people in prison for it, starting with Samuel Caldwell, a farmer who was charged for having some cannabis back in 1937. Been doing this for over 80 years, threatening people with jail if they grow pot plants, threatening them with fines and slaps on the wrist or even short jail times and criminal records if they get caught possessing it. We've done it for 8 decades, and everyone knows it doesn't work. Everybody knows somebody that smokes pot. Everybody walks somewhere, and at some point in their life, they can smell pot somewhere. They turn on the television. There's references to pot. They listen to their music. They're smoking endo and sipping on gin and juice. They look around. They see their places are legalizing. People are smoking it in the movies and the TV shows, yada, yada, yada. They know it doesn't work. So when you give them the binary choice, should we legalize? Most people say yes. So the Kevin Sabet thing now, the Goldilocks game they're playing, is to say when you offer another choice, aside from legalization, the removal of criminal penalties or decriminalization, why that support for legalization drops 30%. Now, it's a little game they're playing here. It's a game of making up a false dichotomy. They're trying to say that us, the people who support freedom and liberty, that we are offering a false dichotomy that it's an either or. It's either prohibition, we lock people up and put them in jail, or it's legalization, we have billboards and pot shops. And they're going to come in and say, we've got the Goldilocks answer. We've got the kinder, gentler drug war. We won't put people in prison and jail and do the hard stuff. But we also won't let there be pot shops and billboards and commercialization. Now, they're purposefully vague about what this Goldilocks solution is. Because what they're trying to offer is, we've got the answer that doesn't have the bad thing you hate about prohibition and doesn't have the scary thing you worry about with legalization. That's the game they're trying to play there. But they're purposefully vague about what that decriminalization actually is. Well, this is where PDX Randy Lee comes in. Because if you took them at their word, if you took these Project Sam people at their word, and it depends on which state you're trying to take their word in, because their speech is literally changed depending on the state they're in. But generally speaking, they want to try to play this game where, look, we don't care about you, Russ, the adult who wants to smoke a joint in their basement and listen to some Pink Floyd, so long as you're not driving and so long as you're not running a school bus and so long as you're not an airplane pilot, we're fine if you want to smoke some pot in your basement and listen to Pink Floyd. We do nothing to you. We support decrim. But when you scratch the surface and you get a little deeper into what this decrim is, what they're talking about, first of all, decrim in the United States is generally meant possession of less than an ounce was a civil penalty for which you can be fined, ticket, $100, $200, $300, right? And have other sanctions like loss of your driver's license. That's the decrim that had existed. So when they offer this Goldilocks porridge of kinder, gentler drug war that's going to be decrim, right? All you got to do is scratch the surface a little. Just dig down a little bit into it. So I did with PDX Randy Lee today. I was like, all right, so this decrim you talk about, I'm sitting at home in my basement, smoking my joint, listening to Pink Floyd, and there's a knock on the door, and so I go to the door, and there is a policeman standing there, and I'm sitting there with the joint in my hand. What happens? Now, under decrim that had existed in the United States up until the present day, what happens is at least the cop takes that joint away from me. And at least that cop now has probable cause to come into my house because I have contraband in my hand, the indication and burning of which could be indicative of the cultivation of a plant or the possession of a greater amount. So now, just for answering my door, I got the possibility the cops can come to my house and look around and root through my shit. And they can find, and of course, PDX Randy Lee will say, oh, they don't find anybody. They didn't really find anybody. Yeah, maybe if you have the complexion of protection like me, but not always, because they were finding up to 12,000 people a year in Oregon when we had DCRIM. So their DCRIM, you know, really comes down to what is the true dichotomy in this. The dichotomy isn't legalization or prohibition. The dichotomy is, do we punish adults for what they do to their own body or not? Do we punish or not? Does the government have the right to coerce people to behave in a certain manner or not? Marijuana, as Keith Strop told me many, many years ago, is just the messenger in this game. The real story is about freedom and liberty and escape from tyranny. And people like PDX Randy Lee and Kevin Sabet and Scott Gagnon and Patrick Kennedy and Bertha Madras and every one of those damn prohibitionists out there share the same characteristic. They believe they have some right at the federal or state or local level. They have a right in some sort of collective governmental way to tell me what to do with my body. Hey guys, can I stay at home in my basement and masturbate left-handed while jamming knitting needles in my urethra? You know, it's harmful to me, and I know you don't like it, but since you seem to have taken the right to tell me what I can do with my body, maybe I should ask permission for every other thing I might want to do. Okay, if I still shave my head? Can I still shave my head? Is that all right with you? This is what this fight really gets down to, people. And we can talk all day about marijuana is safer than alcohol. It doesn't matter if it's more harmful. Marijuana has a healing property for people who are sick. It doesn't matter if it makes you sicker. We've already established in the United States of America that I can consume the most harmful drug we got, alcohol. We've already established that I can go to my liquor cabinet right over there and grab that fifth of liquor and I could chug it. Right here, live on screen, I could chug that bottle and die of alcohol poisoning. And it would be no right of the government, of the police, of the state to do a damn thing about it. We've established my right to fuck my body up. With alcohol, with piercings, with tattoos, with hairstyles, with scarring. There are people out there who have a mental philia of self-amputation. There are people out there who are trans-abled. Have you heard of this? I hate to go off on a tangent here, but there's a trans-abled people who get there in medical procedures, get their legs sawed off on purpose. Perfectly healthy legs, because that's the way they imagine their body. And I think it's weird. I think it's way out there, but I'm not going to have the government stop them. Are you? Because what this really comes down to is the sovereignty over our own body and mind. They want to make this a game about that substance, that thing over there, that molecule. Is that molecule good or evil? Folks, molecules aren't good or evil. People can be good or evil through their actions and intent, but inanimate objects are neither good nor evil. We'll get to the gun debate later. Hold that thought. But that molecule over there, that plant, that bud, I can smoke it and get medical benefit. I can relax. Or maybe it's detrimental to me. Maybe I'm a slacker, no good loser. And I smoke weed and I lose my memory and I don't show up to work and I piss off people and I just ruin my life. And that's still my right. And that's still what freedom means. Freedom is not about allowing people to do things that are good for them. Just like free speech, man. We don't need the protection of free speech to protect the speech people like. We have to have the freedom of free speech to protect the speech people don't like. Likewise, we need to have the freedom to be able to do with our bodies what we like. If a woman's body is her choice, her right to control her body, her uterus, what right is it for me to control my lungs or my brain? Absent any harm to you, you have no right to get up in my business. And really, I wish we'd change the U.S. motto. The U.S. motto shouldn't be "In God We Trust." The U.S. motto shouldn't be "E Pluribus Unum." The U.S. motto should be "Mind Your Own Fucking Business." And folks, that's about all the time I got for today. I could keep going on this tangent, but we're running out of time. So for everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, thanks for joining us. Great time here in the first week of 2018. We're going to keep ramping things up, building up the energy, and building up the listener base. Tell everyone you know about the Marijuana Agenda. We're here every weekday, mostly, at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. You can watch the video replay on the Radical Russ YouTube channel anytime you want, and it's podcast on iTunes and every other outlet.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
That's it, folks. Have a happy weekend. We'll see you on Monday. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You're giant, you're rolling, you're small, yeah. You take a seat, you're